Will you turn with me today in your Bibles to Psalms number 9 and verse 9? And also in Psalms 46 and verse 7, we'll consider those as our text for today. And I'm going to be talking with you, and I want you to listen very carefully today. Will God help me? That's our topic. That's our subject. Will God help me? You've got problems. You got troubles. Sometimes you don't know what to do. Will God help me? Well, I want you to turn to Psalms 9 and 9 and Psalm 46 and 7. Let's see what God has to say for us today. Loving God, speak to our hearts and help us to exalt Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives. I pray in the Savior's name. Amen. Are you hurting today? Are you struggling with the problems of life? Do you have questions and don't seem to be able to get any answers? Then you're like many, many others who are finding life is difficult. And listen, life is difficult. Where can I go or what can I do? We all wonder as we face the challenges of life. The truth is, it's always been this way since the beginning with Adam and Eve. All of human history, folks, is filled with struggles and with problems and trials and heartaches. Do you think we're going to be exempt? No. And the trouble started because of sin. Originally, this would not have been the case in the plan of God. But what a comfort to know that although we live in a sin-cursed world, there is a God who's over all and a God who offers his help, his comfort, and one we can know as our refuge. The psalmist said in Psalm 9, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed." A refuge, listen, in times of trouble. Listen to that verse. You make sure you marked your Bible at Psalms 9:9. The psalmist said that. Many years ago, some 3,000 years ago. But it means what it says, and it says what it means, folks. And so the Lord is a refuge for his people that we can go to and find comfort and strength and hope when we're going through the struggles of this life that we face here in this world. Then over in Psalm 46 and 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. And the Bible clearly teaches, not only in the Old Testament, as it's stated here, but even more clearly over in the New Testament, that the Lord is with his people and will never forsake them, the writer of Hebrews wrote. He's the God of Jacob, and he's our refuge, the psalmist continued by saying. So the Lord is with you if you are one of God's children today by faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what about it today? Has Jesus Christ saved you? Is he your Lord and Savior? Are you serving him? Seeking to honor him? Well, he said, "I'll be with you. I'll never leave you." My, isn't that wonderful? Do you realize you need God? Folks, we're living in a time when it seems that so many people don't think they need God. They think they can make it on their own. Oh, there's no fear of God with so many today. There's so many do not even recognize that there is a God. they are atheistic in their viewpoint. Yeah. But you need God. I need God. Every person in this world that's ever been needs God, folks. We were made, we were created with a need for God. And if we don't allow God into our lives, then we're going to miss out on the best in this life. That's for certain. That's for certain. There is now no place to go to escape the sufferings that's in this old world. I don't care where you go, you're going to find trouble there. You're going to find sufferings there, sorrows there. It all started because Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the beginning, and the curse of sin came into the world. The curse of sin is still here. It's still here. Wherever we may go, we will find other people like us dealing with the same troubles we're dealing with, folks. You can go to another country. You can go to another continent. But the same problems are there. Afflictions. Trials. Struggles. Yes, they're going to be any place you go. And you just want to face it, folks. And you need to try to run from God, because you're going to have to come face to face with your Creator one day and answer to how you lived in this world. Have you sought the face of God to help you as you face life day by day? Sometimes we may think that the grass is greener somewhere else, but it's not. We used to have an old cow out in the cow pasture. You know what that cow would do? She'd go to the edge of the fence there and stick her head through the fence to eat on the other side. And she was in the pasture. Yeah, people's like that, aren't they? They're not satisfied where they're at. We're going to go somewhere else where it'll be better. Well, let me tell you, wherever you go, you're going to find God is there, and He's looking at how you're living. Are you listening, folks? Are you listening to me today? No matter where you go, God's going to be there. And you are accountable to God wherever you go. And you cannot escape it. You cannot escape it. Trouble's going to be wherever you go as well. Death is going to be wherever you go. Yeah, they're going to have the white wreaths on the doors there. Yeah, they're going to have the tents out in the graveyard and the cemeteries. Wherever you go, death's going to be there. Pain and suffering are in the homes and the hospitals, just like where you live today, wherever you might go. Yeah. Will God help me? Oh, yes, He's going to help you. He offers to help you. But you must call on Him. Yeah, you must call on Him, church. And you must realize how much He loves you. And He wants you to call on Him. Yeah, the plans and the dreams we may have are just like the plans and dreams in many ways that others have that often do not come true. Do you have dreams that's not come true yet? Well, if they don't be surprised, because we're living in a sin-cursed world, folks, and there's a devil roaming about. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, He don't love you or respect you a bit. In fact, He's against you and will come against you with His demonic host to make life as miserable as He can for you if you let Him. If you let Him. But we're not to give up, because God does care for every one of us, no matter who we are. You're just as important to God as anybody else, anywhere else. Do you understand that, church? You are just as important to God as any other person, any other workplace. If people could only believe that, they would find their burden just a little bit lighter. In fact, listen to this. Are you listening to me? In fact, the prophet Jeremiah wrote what God said in Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, God says, and I'll answer you. Listen to that promise. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's a promise from God to you, if you'll claim it. If you'll claim it. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe, be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to get God's attention, by the way. God's give us his son to die on a cross for our sins, and salvation is only in Christ. And the only way you can get to God is through Christ. You got to be saved to call on the Lord, folks. Call unto me, God says, and I'll answer you. Yeah, you ever picked up your telephone to call someone, and when you dial their number, it goes boink, 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 boink. Yeah, we experience that, don't we? You'll never get that signal when you call God, folks. He's never too busy to answer. He's never too busy to answer because you're important to him. And he loves you, as I've already stated. How powerful prayer is when we turn to God and seek his face. How powerful is our God when we turn to him and seek his face. Oh, how he wants to hear from me and from you with our hearts that are humbled, with our hearts that are sincere, and our hearts are calling desperately unto our God and our Savior. God says only call, folks. Only call. Yeah. You know, we get a lot of calls at the house that aggravate me. These calls that's not supposed to be calling, because we're on that list that you do not call, but what they still call. Hey, but God has said, listen, my line's open all the time for all my children to call on me. Amen. Boy, isn't that nice? Yeah, God's always ready to hear from you. You know what? The problem is, we leave God waiting, and we don't call. Isn't that the case, folks? Is that the case with you? Think about it. God promised us to hear his people if they'll only call. Why is it most people do not call on the Lord, I wonder? Think about it. As you sit here today, think about it. Why do people avoid prayer meeting in our churches today? Why do we have so few people at prayer meeting? I mean, it's not just our church. You go by any church at prayer meeting time and you will see only a few people. Only a few people is concerned about their community. They're concerned, they're unconcerned about souls. They're unconcerned about pleasing God. They don't want to take the time. But I tell you what you can do, and you'll find a whole lot of cars and a whole lot of people. I travel past about 20 restaurants or eating joints when I come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Did you know every one of them is full of people? They're full of people at prayer meeting time. Yeah. But to go call on God and be concerned about our community that's falling apart with crime? No. I'd rather fill up my belly. I've worked hard. I'm hungry. But the truth is, you need the bread of heaven, the bread of life. That's what you really need. Every single one of you. And me too, folks. And me too. Why, when people want help with help available, And still many people neglect to turn to the one who could help them. Try to solve it on their own. Try to get out without having to call on God. Trying to make it on my own. Well, God made us to call on Him, to need Him. We're not interfering with God when we call on Him. Oh, but after all, He's God. And He's able to listen to everybody and attend to everybody. If everybody in this world of over 7 billion people would suddenly call on the Lord through Jesus Christ, God could take care of every one of us. Amen? That's how awesome God is, our God. Yeah, that's our God, church. That's our God. Well, maybe some people have this question. Will God really help me? Yes, He would, if you'll meet His conditions. Uh-oh, somebody may say, meet His conditions. I knew it, somebody might think. Well, yes. First, He wants us all to recognize we have sin and we need to repent. We have sin and we need to repent. We need to get saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as a Christian, we need to walk obediently before the Lord. We need to learn to follow the Lord in obedience, trusting and obeying, as that old hymn in the hymn book says. One of my favorites, by the way. Yeah. We need to recognize that we're sinful creatures, although we've been saved by the grace of God. The Apostle John says, if we'll confess our sins, we Christians, he's talking about, because we fail the Lord daily. We need to recognize it. We need to humble ourselves. We need to get this notion out of our mind, I've been saved, now I can live like I want to, because you can't. Not and please the Lord, by the way. Yeah, yeah. The Lord wants us to turn from the sins of the flesh. Yes, He wants us to repent of the sins of the flesh after we've been saved and start obeying Him. Start doing what He wants, not what we want. That's a big problem we all have had and are having. He wants us to turn to Him in faith and trust Him and love Him and serve Him and exalt Him. It's all about Him. It's not about me and you. This life's about Him, folks. We need to be right with God so God can bless us. So God can use us, so we can please God. God is anxious to help. The only reason He's not helping you and me with a problem is because we may not be living right. Think about that. We may not be living right. Yeah. We should not take God for granted, folks, just because we're saved. We need Him. He has bought us. We belong to Him. Don't forget that. Isaiah said in Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities, your sin, has separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Sin causes God to withhold His blessings. And now our country is falling apart because this country basically has turned from God. We have in our legislations, in our Congress, we have legalized sin, blatant sin, blasphemous sin has been legalized in this country. And now, you go by these places where they can gamble on online or ever what that stuff is on the computers they do. Boy, they'll have more at prayer meeting time there than at the local church. Yeah, trying to gamble, get some money. Hey, where the money's at's with God, folks. That's where the real riches is at. That's where the real blessings are at. Did you know you could be your worst enemy? You could be your worst enemy. You could be the cause of many of your concerns that you've got today and in this week you're about to face. You might be the main problem. Don't blame God when life is falling apart and you've left God out. You might need to blame yourself. Yeah, that's what happened to Israel. Israel was living like she wanted to under the Mosaic law. But it was reduced down to ceremonies and rituals and, they got off into worshiping idols, false gods. You know what happened? Because God is jealous, he put them out of their country and sent them down to Babylon. Sent them to Babylon, folks. Yeah, they lost their country. Yeah, their temple, their beautiful temple was torn down. Their city was destroyed. And the people, many of them as well. And many was taken into slavery in Babylon. Why? Because people was not calling on God in the right way, folks. You know what? We're not immune from that. We're not immune from the judgment of God. No. God will hold us accountable. You can count on this. All these babies being aborted. Hey, since the 70s, God's going to hold America accountable for all these murders of these innocent babies, folks. Yeah. Yes, Christian people have trials just like other people. We must remember we're living in a world under the curse of sin. And God has not said that this is the promised land, folks. This is not the promised land we're living in. Oh, I know. People all over the world want to come to America. Oh, there's so many opportunities in America. But I tell you what, America's becoming a cesspool of sin. Right and left. A cesspool of sin, folks. Look at the drugs. Look at the drunkenness. Look at the pornography. Look at all the sex, filth, and crimes that's going on. Just to name a few things. Yes, and God's looking at it. God's displeased. You can be sure of that. The promised land will be far different from America, folks. We're living today in a world and in a land where the devil's going about deceiving people right and left, and they don't even know they're deceived. Yeah. We're living in the Laodicean age, the age of the church, the last church that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 3. A worldly church. A church of rituals and ceremonies. A church with a false profession. It appears. I'm afraid too many Christians don't know how serious their sin is before God. Have you considered your sin before God, church? Have you considered how blatant it is before God, glaring in the face of God? The way you're living? Think about it. I'm afraid too many Christians don't even know the reality of God. Failing to pray, failing to be faithful, failing to be committed, failing to be sanctified. That's why so many Christians are worldly. Worldly. Can't hardly wait to get out of here today and go to Walmart's or Lowe's or someplace and do your shopping today on the Lord's Day. Boy, I remember when all those businesses was closed up on the Lord's Day because God was respected. Yeah, I remember those days. Boy, they're long gone, aren't they? Yeah, they're long gone. Too many Christians today got their bodies full of tattoos. They dress improperly, immodestly, out in public, which is a shame and a disgrace. That's why they don't attend prayer meeting, isn't it? And Bible study, isn't it? Worldly, carnal Christians only interested in what I want. What I want. That's why they fail to draw nigh to God. What about you? Are you failing to draw nigh to God? God said if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. Yeah. God wants all of me and all of you. He wants all of our heart. You and I were made for Him when we're not made to be turned loose and do our thing. Folks, can you get that in your mind today? We have so many people now who do not even believe there's a God. God says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Can you imagine somebody so blind that they don't even believe there's a God? Where did they think everything came from? Folks, those first two chapters in the book of Genesis are literally true. It's the word of God who cannot lie. God is such an omnipotent God. He has such power. He has such wisdom that He took nothing, nothing, nothing and made everything. That's God. That's our God that saved us by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Hear me. The Darwin theory of evolution has been accepted into the public school system over the last over 150 years, and it's bringing and has brought many to unbelief to the fact that there is a God. And man now thinks he's God. Yeah. The idea that everything evolved over millions or billions of years is as ridiculous as a rattlesnake is not poisonous. Some of these professors with a Ph.D. degree, that doesn't mean they're a know-it-all. Just because they don't believe in God doesn't make it true. No. You can ask some of these agnostic teachers, hey, teacher, you know my mama? Well, you know I don't know your mama. Hey, well, if you're so smart, you should have known my mama. Well, it just goes to prove, since you don't know everything, possibly you don't know the God of heaven. Amen? Amen. There's a God. You may not know Him, but He is. Because I know Him. Amen. I know Him. He saved me. He made me one of His own. I enjoy Him every day. And we all can. It will. Get our priorities in order, folks, and draw nigh to God. Yeah, the God of this universe loves you and you and every one of you on these pews today, folks. He loves you. He's interested in the best for your life. The best for your life. Even better for you than what you want. God wants. He wants the best. And we need to go to the one who can give us the best life. And the best life doesn't mean it's going to be riches and fame and fortune. No. You look in the Bible at the people that had the best life, and look what they had to go through, the struggles and the trials. And these were the lives that God approved of, folks. These are the ones God approved of. Think about that. Yes. The Bible says, and this is some of my favorite scriptures. Please sure to turn to Psalms 37 and mark these verses if you haven't already. Psalms 37, verses 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. Somebody says, oh, there it is, there it is. He said, he gave me the desires of my heart. Yeah, he said that. But let me say this about the desires of your heart. If you're right with God, if you're fully trusting the Lord and obeying the Lord, the desires of your heart will be pleasing to the Lord and not pleasing to you. Do you hear me this morning? Do you hear me today? You think about when you and I are right with God, the things we desire will please God and won't be pleasing the flesh. We're not to attempt to use God, but rather if we really know him, life will be so much richer. We'll have peace. We'll have comfort. We'll have joy. We'll have hope. And the Lord will be so real to us, folks. And we'll be satisfied. We'll be content. Amen? Yeah. There's one thing that is certain, and I say it often. A deceived person don't know they're deceived. Hey, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil's going about deceiving people out of their very souls and out of the best life after they've been saved. Today, people are on drugs, alcohol, or trying to find satisfaction in sex or pleasure. None of these things will fill the need in any person's life. Every person was made for God, and without God, every life will be empty, folks. Every life will be empty. Only God can supply the need of every heart. If you're restless today, dissatisfied, discouraged, then humble yourself. Cry out to God. This is why he sent his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross to pay for our sins. And no matter who you are or where you live at, you need Jesus Christ. And you'll never be complete without him. Think about that one. Think about that, church. You'll never be complete without Jesus Christ. You'll never be satisfied till you have the peace of God in your heart and life. And you'll never be whole until you know the Lord. The Bible says, and ye are complete in him. We're complete in Christ, Colossians 2, verse 10. That scripture applies to you no matter who you are or where you live at. Things will not satisfy you. You'll always want something else. Amen? Yeah. You and I will never be the person God wants us to be until Jesus Christ lives in our heart and is in full control of our life. Jesus makes life complete. The promises of God's word is that those who trust in Jesus as their Savior will have everlasting life. Praise God. This don't mean you will not have trials and problems and sorrows. When we do, we can go to the Lord. We can find wisdom. We can find strength. We can find hope. We can find him leading us and helping us. Yes. But it means he will be with us to enable us to face life day after day because he gives hope. Hebrews 13:5, as I've already mentioned, says, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I like what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 26. Turn with me there and mark these if they're not marked in your Bible, because they're that important. Therefore, I say unto you, Jesus said, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Yes, I sat in my recliner many a morning, looked out the window, and I seen this robin, and sometimes other birds out there in the front yard. And every morning, God has something for those birds to eat. They just go out there to... Basically, that robin goes to the same place every morning, gets his breakfast. God feeds him. Hey, you're much better than a robin. You're much better than a bird. God loves you. God loves you so much, he sent his son to die for you so you could have a relationship with him and one day live with him. We need to learn to trust God. We need to learn to obey God. We need to learn to submit to God's word and will. That scripture in Matthew here is just as relevant for you as it was for the people Jesus was talking about on the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah. Yeah. What I would say to everyone, take the Lord as his word. Believe it. Claim his promises and you will find life will be much more pleasant and rich. The scripture says in James 4, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. God tests us, folks. And so when you ask and you don't receive it, then he says, seek. See why you're not getting what God wants you to have. You still haven't got it? Knock, he said, beat on heaven's door. He's not deaf. He's just waiting for me and you to get it right with him. He's working to get us to have the right attitude. Yeah. So life is difficult for you today? Are you living in disobedience to the Lord? What's going on in your life that don't please the Lord? Are you having it hard because you're not obeying the Lord? That might be the case. For sure, God knows all about you, and he loves you, and he cares for you. He wants the best for you, as I've already said. For sure, God knows. But over and over, we're told, trust the Lord and obey the Lord, and he will make a way. He will give peace. He will give hope. He will give life. And he worked that way with his people in the Old Testament. He's the same God. He's the same God. The God that sent his only son to die on an awful cross to rescue your soul that was perishing. Yeah. By being faithful as believers, we will earn rewards. Not only do we have salvation as a gift, but we can earn rewards that will be ours throughout eternity if we live like he wants us to live. These rewards will be given out at the judgment seat of Christ for Christian people. Imagine you get to the judgment seat of Christ. You stand before the Lord, and there's a big stack of rewards sitting over there on the side. And the Lord would look at you and he said, well, listen, brother, sister, I had all these rewards here for you, but you weren't faithful. You didn't live like you ought to live. You didn't trust and obey me like I wanted you to. and therefore I can't give you these rewards that I had right here for you. Won't that be sad? You know, the Bible says some people's going to be ashamed at the judgment. Christians. Why? They didn't live as a Christian like they ought to, folks. So today, as we sit here in church, I want you to examine your heart. What do you need to do? What do you need to do? What do you need to repent of? What is it you need to start doing to obey the Lord? You let Him lead you and guide. You submit to Him. He is God. He's the one that sent His Son to die to rescue your perishing soul. Loving God, oh loving God, may Your Word just bless hearts, challenge hearts. May Your Word bring conviction through the power of the Holy Spirit. And may we conform to the image of Jesus Christ as believers to love and serve You, bring You honor and glory, and exalt our God's name. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May the Lord bless you today.